Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Yes. Yes, we're streaming.
Doc Styling?
He will join us shortly. Destino.
Yo, how we doing? ¿Cómo está? What's going on?
Estamos bien. Let me play the intro.
Okay, gotcha.
Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc will be joining us shortly.
Hey, Big C, what's up?
Yes, Lady A, how's it going?
What's happening?
All right, Doc will be joining us shortly. He's live on location, and he just arrived.
Okay, I left him a message. I know you called him, and I left him a message, so he should be on.
Yeah, I just spoke to him right now. He will be joining us very, very shortly.
Okay.
Hey, Dusty, let me ask you a question. You going to watch the game tomorrow at 3:30?
What game are you talking about?
The Celtics and the Heat.
Oh, the team that destroyed my team? Yeah. No, hey, let me tell you something. That's going to be a monster game because the Heat wants to get even with the Celtics.
No, I know.
They've been slapped around by the Celtics off and on, and so now they want to make it all the way, especially now with the new season, with the new big three in from Miami. Ooh, let me tell you something. They didn't look too good almost losing to those who was it, Philadelphia, was it? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Who did they almost lose to? No, but they had a tough time. But I'm gonna watch them, but I think the Celtics got it wrapped up. I mean, this is my estimation from what I saw.
Yeah.
All season. Yeah.
Calm down.
I feel I could sabotage and call a train strike and a bus strike so this dude never gets there. And even an airplane strike. Man, it didn't work. Jesus.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, and we're up United Athletes Foundation, and they're having a gala today, and pretty dope. So I think we got Big C with us. Big C,
why don't
we just kick it off? Hold on a second.
With Mr. Coltrane, I see him sitting right here.
Oh, okay. Were you just trying to call me, Big C?
No, you just called me.
Okay. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to open up with John Coltrane. And I have the awardee, the Young Athlete of the Year, so we're going to talk to him live. So we're going to kick Sports and Depth off, and let's do that first with John Coltrane. Dear Lord, we just thank you once again for being our God, for being our Savior. We thank you for those things that we should largely take again. We thank you for mercy, grace, and just for being our God. We thank you for the panel. We thank you for our family. We thank you for our family. We just thank you. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, amen. And with that, I think it's time to bring the one and only, the incomparable Larry Hardesty, to bring us on.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
You know what I like here? They have some solid auction here. They got a ball autographed here by Charles Barkley.
Wow.
Dusty, they told me that, that you know Dominic Wilkins was honest, but they told me that Nick's not coming because of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I asked the girl, was he playing again?
Wow. Hey, this is Mel Smith Jr. here. How are you, folks?
Hey, Rudy.
Rudy.
How you doing?
Okay, what we're going to do? Rooney. Relax, calm down.
I gotta tell the panel about the Charles Barkley thing. Doc, panel.
Hey, but Rooney, I'm glad you called now because now, Rooney, at least I know that you weren't part of the crew there with Doc.
Doc, I remember you introducing me to Charles Barkley on one interesting day, and I think you were bugging him because I think he owed you a pair of autographed sneakers and such. And I think you.
I say one thing about Barkley is a great, great human being and a big, big boxing fan. And he's one of the few guys to. Well, hold on. We got the. He was one of the few guys. I remember he was going to. Give me a pair of sneakers, but he said, no, I got to give them to this kid. But he, in turn, said, you know what? Here, take these. I mean, because the guys always tell you that, but, you know, when you go back to where you're playing at, you got a whole bunch in your locker. But he's a great human being, great player. And
you were looking at him, Doc, and I'm looking up at this guy that's about 6'5", every bit of 255, 260, because, you know, and I'm looking at Doc's pick on him 5 minutes.
Okay, Dusty, panel, we have an award winner here. And what's your name again? And you're a swimmer. Okay. And you, how old are you, Rick? 20. Wow, you're really getting old, aren't you, Rick? Okay, he's an award winner, a swimmer. We're going to say congratulations to him. And we're just going to, what got you into swimming? Why swimming?
Because my mom didn't know how to swim, so I just decided to swim. She put.
Hey, good to see you again. All right? Not yet. We'll be here. Okay. They may not be, but they'll be here. They ain't gonna leave you. You know who? I don't know if you know who that young man is. Yeah. You know what happened to Dusty? I saw this affair yesterday, and you know the young fella that remember who escaped from the tragedy where his mother drowned his sister and brother.
Yeah, that was recently.
Yeah. He just came. He remembered me from yesterday and came up. You know, the rain come in. The UAF has vowed that they're going to take care of him.
Wow.
So that
cool.
He won't eat anything.
Yeah, that's cool.
During his entire life. But we're going to back to our swimming. Dusty, we got a young man who's a swimmer. We want that. He's an award winner. Now, did you win this over other athletes in this endeavor? I mean, how'd you win it? Was it a competition or voted?
Yeah, competition.
Against other swimmers or athletes all in general?
Swimmers. Other swimmers.
So you like the new Johnny Washmore?
Sure.
And you got here because you got in swimming because your mother couldn't swim?
Because of that, and I also love the water just from a very young age.
Well, Can he get any younger? Hey, Dusty, from a very young age, he loved the water. He's 14 years old.
He loves the water.
Oh, hey, Doc, what kind of competition was it? 100 meters?
Panel, I'm handing them to you. He's all yours for the next few minutes. Grab the phone.
Who do we have here, Doc? I'm sorry, I missed the name.
Hello.
Hey, what's your name, buddy?
Rick Rodriguez.
What event was it? 150?
For this. To win the award for this?
Yeah, freestyle?
No, actually, my brother found this lady at a Clinton Foundation meeting, mm-hmm. and we actually got in contact with the lady, and my mother began to talk to her. Mm-hmm. And the lady, and they just asked me a bunch of questions, and they were interested in me because of the community service acts I do. I do a bunch of different walks each year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because of my times and the different places I've traveled. I've been to Puerto Rico, D.C. I'm going to North Carolina, where next year we're going to Florida for the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Heavy duty. Yeah. And how old are you?
Huh?
How old are you?
I'm turning 14.
14? You
wow,
the
congratulations. What a
Jesus. God bless you.
Thank you.
You know, I have to say this, Mel Smith Jr. here, and, you know, it's funny because, you know, I can't swim a lick. You know, I devoted all my free time as a youngster to, you know, boxing and wrestling. You know, I couldn't swim in the bathtub if you paid me, you know.
Hey, Rudy, don't feel bad. I might have this little kid come out and save me and throw me a buoy or something. You know it's bad when you got little kids pushing you in the water and you're drinking the water instead of, like, you're trying to stay above it. You know what I mean?
Don't worry, I'll save you.
What's so funny about that is that my mom had told me some time ago that my little nephew, who's all of 15, you know, is learning how to swim and dive.
Uh-huh.
Not too many people in my family can swim. So I was proud as a peacock. I'm like, wow, Marlon can swim? Wow. And this young man that we have before us is a swimming champion.
Congratulations. Wow.
A champion at that age.
Right. And evidently, Rick, you have your eyes on the Olympics in the future, don't you?
Yes, definitely.
Uh-huh. So what would bring you, I mean, is it age-wise, or you have to be a certain age and then compete at that high level to be able to be found qualifiable to compete in the Olympics? What's the age limit of the Olympics when you're swimming?
Well, the Junior Olympics start anywhere from the age of 6 to the age of 19.
Mm-hmm.
No, the 15. And then from there up, it's Olympics.
Then from there, it's the Olympics. So you're going to be the Latino Greg Louganis or something like that, or Mark Spitz, or what the other guy, Phelps? Are you going to do all of that hopefully in the future?
Yes, definitely.
Wow. That's
Hey, Rick, what's your favorite event? What's your favorite event? Swimming.
I would have to say the breaststroke.
Breaststroke?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I give you credit, kiddo. Listen, it's bad enough trying to box like for 3 rounds, much less trying to swim like that.
It really is.
Exactly.
Hey, Justino, like after 3 rounds, you're pouring at the bag. This poor kid's probably in a pool.
Hey, lady, you say that as a joke, but you know, the first time I actually got in the boxing ring. And they're like, okay, you're going to go 3 minutes. You know, you're the new Jack, so you know you're going to go around. And
right.
So Lady A, after, I'm in there what seems like an eternity. I'm like, well, I thought this 3 minutes went by about 5 minutes ago. What if somebody's going to ring a bell up in here, that's busty?
Hey, but listen, you can't go grab hot dogs after you finish, right, big guy? That's the whole thing, all right? You can't grab hot dogs. Hey, Rick, what's your diet like, buddy? What's your diet like? You probably eat like 3,000 calories a day or more, right?
Probably.
Yeah?
Well, you burn it off while you're swimming.
Yeah, well, you burn it off. It's every muscle in your body for swimming, you know, right?
So usually I eat as much as I possibly can, and then I'll just go burn it off in the pool.
You hear that? He eats as much as he could possibly can. I would be in trouble.
And then burns it off in the pool.
Hey, Rick's a prime athlete.
Yeah. Hey, Justino,
hey, Rick,
no pastele, big guy. No pastele. No pastele before you
no
go in there. Right?
Hey, Rick, on a serious note, though, I do this. One of the reasons, believe it or not, I did a lot of boxing. I did a lot of wrestling. But believe it or not, and Pamela, you better not laugh at me. One of the things that kept me from learning how to swim, Rick, was I had a fear of large bodies of water. Did you have any fear at all, anything that you had to kind of overcome as far as any fear of water before you were able to do this and become a champion?
Wow, it's true, yeah.
Wow.
I haven't had any fears from the age of 3. We went to Florida for my 4th birthday, and I was jumping in 9 feet of water and just playing at the bottom of the water. Not noticing. I'm underwater, not breathing while my sister's going in to get me.
Wow. You were doing 9 feet at that age?
And at the age of 8, we took a family trip to Puerto Rico, and uh-huh. actually jumped into the ocean at like 35 feet deep.
Are you kidding?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Head first?
Huh?
Head
yeah,
first?
Actually, diving in, yes.
Wow. Oh, my God. This kid's
wow.
amazing.
Well, it's amazing.
Yeah, but that takes a lot of guts.
No fear,
right?
No fear. What town of Puerto Rico are you from? Or your family's from?
They're from a lot of different places, like Aguadilla.
Aguadilla, that's my wife's hometown. Oh, my Lord, we're neighbors, maybe.
Probably.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, that's good, that's good.
Hey, besides swimming, what else do you like? Besides swimming, you like any other sport besides swimming?
Not really, I really just focus on swimming. I don't like, I don't really watch any other sports, and I don't really participate in a lot of other sports.
Right. Let me ask you this, though, as to toughen up your legs, I mean, besides the swimming and the laps back and forth, do you find that you have to run also, do the track?
Not really. I feel swimming gives me enough exercise, but sometimes they try to get us to do it to just get that extra oomph in.
Right,
that's
right,
about
right.
it.
Mm. Well, in the competition, I saw the pre-Olympic competition. These guys trained to build themselves up and their staminas and all that. They wore, I don't know whether they were ankle weights, and with their hands, they also wore some, like, weighted down gloves. Do you also do
yeah,
that?
We actually don't have none of those materials yet because the Boys and Girls Club does not have, well, my Boys and Girls Club hasn't ordered that stuff yet.
Right,
but
right.
We should be using that in our soon future.
Right, right. I see. Oh,
how many times a day do you train, Rick? How many times a day?
Well, usually there's swim practice about five times a week, and I usually go about five times a week.
Oh, so
wow.
Okay. So what, after school, I guess you would go, or during, like, do you do anything before school at all, or no?
No, I actually go after school.
After school. Okay.
Right.
And you compete
wow.
all over. You compete all over the states, or mostly like now, or is it just locally?
Right now we're more local, but we're starting to travel a little bit further, like
yeah.
D.C., Puerto Rico, Florida,
wow.
North Carolina.
Holy cow!
And you're only four. Imagine for 14 years old. This kid's doing this.
Yeah, I'm turning 14 actually on Monday.
Wow! Happy birthday, my Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, Rick.
So actually, you practically, as you get
who does
into
this question? Dusty.
Yeah,
this
you'll
is
be,
not, this
you're
is
living
not,
out of a suitcase,
this, Dusty, this is
yeah.
not an hour dialogue. We want the young man to talk to everybody. Don't be cross-examining like this, Dusty.
What did you say?
I knew full well who this was. I knew full, the boy is down there crying. I knew football right now. And then when I heard the Latin thing, I said, oh, adios mio, I know what's going there. Viva Zapata. That's Mexican, too. But did everybody get a chance to talk? Did you get a chance to talk to Rooney?
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah, I'm going to ask one question, Doc. This is Hoops.
Okay, Hoops. Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to slide him and speak to the founder of the organization.
Yeah.
And we just want to really thank him for being with us. I'm amazed. The guy said, you know, he killed me. He said he when he was younger.
Yeah, when he was younger.
But, hold on. What we do? I'm going to get ready in a minute. Oh, second. We're going to get the founder. Okay. Reggie, your full name?
Reggie Howard.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the man who's founded this organization. And he said something yesterday, reminding me what Dr. King said. If a man hasn't found something to die for, life isn't worth living. And you said three things, Reggie, that touched me. You said, you know what? We got to inform each other so that the guy that messed up you doesn't mess up me. Ladies and gentlemen, he's yours for the next few minutes, the founder, the man who founded the organization, Mr. R.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
How you doing? Welcome to the show. The founder of this, do you branch out, if I understand, Doc, do you branch out into other sports or just a concentration on the swimming or all levels of athletics and education?
Oh, yeah. I mean, our organization, we want to work with all athletes,
mm-hmm.
all athletes in all sports, professionally, amateur,
right.
Young men that are coming up. You know, we just want to be someone that, an organization that brings everybody in without
right.
boundaries. And without prejudice, you know, so
right.
that we can show what the whole unification is all about
mm-hmm.
and get rid of the I and believe in the we. And so we're very excited about everything we're doing with this organization, and we're loving the type of leadership that we have amongst our group.
Do you then sort of as an incentive, let's put it this way, incentive you bring some of the more highlighted athletes in the particular sports to talk to the kids, one highlight from baseball or basketball or swimming or guys who have been successful, whether Olympics or the pros, to talk to the kids?
Yeah, man, it's just all about giving them a bunch of different experiences, so that they understand that, there's something out there for everyone. And so it's not about the football just being dominated or just thinking about basketball or just thinking about baseball. It's about all the sports and just using the fact that you're influences and that you can really make a difference and using that for your benefit and helping the community with it.
Right. Learn how to get
Malcolm back. Malcolm Jr. here. Let me, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't get your name.
Oh, my name is Reggie Howard.
I'm sorry, was that Rick?
Reggie Howard,
Reggie Howard.
Oh, Ricky. Hey, Ricky Melson is Jr. here. I just wanted to say on behalf of the panel, thank you very much for the time and effort that you put into, these young people and giving them something to do and something to strive for. I mean, the young man, Rick, that we just finished spoken to is obviously very disciplined, well-spoken, well-mannered. And I just wanted to thank you personally for taking the time out of your obviously busy schedule, to pass it on and do for others.
Oh, no problem, man. I appreciate you guys having me. And I think, this is something that's needed for my organization, and we're just trying to teach others to the benefit of what we're trying to accomplish and trying to catch them as early as possible so that, you don't have to go through and brainwash a kid and go through all the situations that he's developed those bad habits. We want to catch these guys as young as possible so that we can nurture them and bring them up so they become young leaders for us as well and young faculty. So we're highly excited about what we're trying to accomplish with this organization.
I'm highly excited that you're catching them very early because that's the key. I don't have to tell you, being obviously a teacher in your own right, that, young people's minds are like a sponge. And if you catch it early, they just, the knowledge like there's no tomorrow.
Absolutely, that's true. So you go out sometimes. How do you reach these kids? I mean, your program. How do you get them to come or enroll in your program? Community groups, people, mentors that know your organization, talk to kids and direct them to you.
I mean, it's simple. They can go out and check out our website, www.unitedathletesfoundation.org. And go to our info page and put out there, what they want to talk to us about, because we're very big on collaborations. That's one of our values, because we feel like, there's no reason for us to sit up and try to take all the glory and try to do things that we're not accustomed to when you can work with an organization that already has the skill set and already has the track record and the history of doing those things the right way and just basically bringing the guys we have with our organization to the table and aligning them with that partnership. And as long as it's the right partnership and that organization is operating the right way, we know what we're trying to accomplish. And so that's all we're trying to do is work with good organizations that are going to get this job done and are going to really make the impact we truly desire.
That's good. Yeah, so this is how you doing there? This is the Hoopsta. Glad you to be on the show. I want to ask you, you want to have any athletes come speak to these kids? You got anybody in mind who you want to come to join the organization and talk to the kids?
Yeah, I mean, just send us some information, man. I know I'm kind of busy right now, so I don't want to commit without seeing what all you have going on, but just send it over. Let us review it. I would definitely suggest giving us a couple of days, to kind of catch our breath a little bit after this busy weekend here in New York. But we're definitely looking to find ways to work with organizations, and we'd love to have the opportunity to see if there's a potential partnership for us in the future.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, we just want to get your word, man, that we will be fortunate enough to have you again sometime when your schedule will bear it, and you, along with some of the great athletes that you're helping to inspire. We'd really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, man. And you can count on that, man. We're gonna work this thing out, and we're gonna keep on getting this information out. We appreciate you getting us involved, and we're highly excited about it.
I'm so proud. I mean it sincerely. So proud to hear about folks like you and, doing as opposed to, say, someone getting in trouble and consulting not a coach but a lawyer for this, that, and the other. I really thank you so much for your inspiration to the younger people. And as I said, I really do commend you.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Right. You guys are guardian angels. Believe you me, guardian angels, because you're doing what a lot of, unfortunately, we go, because we have to deal with the negativism, too, of a society. Unfortunately, others just don't do. And you take your, I know you have a personal life and time and all that, and you take that part of that time to deal with kids who need, you know, a mentor or somebody to guide them in the proper direction. And that's a great job.
I appreciate it, man. We're just trying to do what we've been put on this earth to do, man, and that's just live by this purpose, trust our values, and go out here and do the work that needs to be done. All right.
An absolute right. pleasure and an honor. Oh. We thank you again.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you, sir. Thanks for having me on. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. God bless.
Reggie was just, you know, he's a hard man to catch up with, but his commitment is. Well, you know what I like what he said yesterday about the thanks, Reg, for being with us, man. Okay. Thank you, man. Come on, baby. There's more we're supposed to do. And you know, he talked about the enlightenment, the the fact that you know, the zeal that this has to be done, man. This is something that has to be done. And now what we're gonna do, we're gonna get Donovan McDabb's dad over here. Hold on just a minute. Hold on, don't anybody. You know, Big Sweet. Mr. Mack? We're going to get Doug McDabb's dad and try to get his mother too, get him as a group together and just talk about this this situation. And hold on a second. Right now we're going to get the father of Doug McDabb on. Y'all can run him through the grill a little bit too. In fact, we'll get him and try to find his love. In fact, we'll get them both together here too if we can. First, we'll get Mr. McDabb first. Let me go over there. Hold on a second. We're going to get the Mrs. Mack, you got a minute? Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. Right now, panel, I'm bringing you the lovely mother of Donovan McNabb, the lady who who eats the meat soup. But, you know, she said something yesterday that really touched me, and the thing was, she said, as a mother, I'm always looking out for my child. And she said, too, you know, and this is what you remember, Dusty, back when you went to school with little David and Goliath.
But, right.
You know, the importance of education and how African-American schools stress that you can't play ball if you can't keep your marks up. Ladies and gentlemen, for the next few minutes, the lovely mother. What's your first name, man?
Char.
Okay. Hey, Dusty, let the other people go for it, and don't hold up. Dr. Stanley,
now, wait a
Blake
minute. Let's not be unfair. Ms. McNabb.
Hello there. How are you?
Welcome to the show. God bless you.
How you doing?
Fine. How's your son doing?
Everybody's doing fine. Everybody's
right.
doing fine. Not, it's a good weekend, okay?
It's a good weekend. Good,
yes, it
good.
Is. Yes.
Right.
We're here in New York, and normally, traditionally, we come down as moms. I am the president of the Professional Football Players Mothers Association, or
wow.
NFL Moms.
NFL Moms.
We come down to New York so we get a chance to meet the new prospects, the new rookie moms and parents coming into the draft. So that's
right.
why we do this every year.
Oh,
okay.
So then you've had a very busy week because of the draft in New York? I mean,
yes.
Oh, my Lord, you run your son ragged all these 3 or 4 days?
I know it, yes. It's tiring.
I should feel guilty because I've been sitting on my butt here watching the draft, and you were working so hard all these 3 or 4 days out there.
Exactly.
Oh.
There are several events going on,
mm-hmm.
and we're here participating with the United Athletes Foundation,
right,
Reggie mm-hmm. Howard, along with
mm-hmm.
Ray Lewis. And
right.
so we're just having a wonderful time here at the gala at the Grand Hyatt Hotel now.
That's great.
Okay,
that's great.
Okay, so what...
Mel Smith Jr. here, I just wanted to, again, commend you for the work that you're doing, and I just don't know how you take the pressure and
right.
all of the pressure and the tension building, and I just don't know how you handle it and sound so cool and calm.
Well, what you see is it's cool and calm, but on the inside sometimes you never, you know, it's difficult sometimes
mm-hmm.
with your son and the work that he does. And
right.
and the criticism. He has to take the good with the bad.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's horrible.
That kind of hurts a little, but
yeah.
We manage, and he's blessed to be
right.
playing
right.
for
yeah.
For going out into his 13th season, and hopefully
wow.
he'll keep the success that he's had in the past
mm-hmm.
and build
right.
a legacy. All right?
Right, right. That's great. Yeah. That's great.
That's
you
right.
you
right.
wish
yeah,
him
nice.
Good luck next season, you know, and God
okay.
bless him, and stay healthy. And
okay.
Get a ring.
Very good. That's what I want. We pray for that too.
Ms. McNabb, how you doing?
Yes.
This is Lady A. Anyway, we can get your son to come over to the New York Jets. That's my team. Ms. McNabb, I think we need your husband, your son this season. You know.
Right. I hear you. All right.
And
all right.
Mr. McNabb, one of those cultural places
whoa,
here. I mean,
oh wow.
I mean,
oh,
Ms.
Wow.
Ms. McNabb, we have the, as you already know, the Radio City Music Hall, the Madison Square Garden, so, you know, the Meadowlands. I mean, we
that's
have all
right.
kind of places as well.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Ms. McNabb, we need some
yes.
veteran leadership, I think. You know, that's
exactly.
what we need in the New York Jets. And I know that your son has that leadership quality.
Absolutely.
He has what the New
Ooh.
York team needs,
mm-hmm.
especially to carry this young guy that we got there now as a quarterback.
He's doing a great job. Mark Sanchez is doing a great job. And your coach over there, he is just really doing a wonderful job. So,
oh, he's a real live wire,
right.
Rex Ryan.
yeah,
a real live
yeah,
wire.
yeah, he is. But I think the Jets are going to be all right. They're going to be okay. All
thank
right.
you, Ms. McNabb.
You're welcome.
Thank
you, take care,
you
all right?
Thank you.
Ms. McNabb, a pleasure and an honor to
thank
have had you.
You
on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Damn, y'all should have had my back.
Okay, calm down.
Talk
to Sunday Sports and
Death. How you doing,
Perry? You love your mother.
Got
to say it on, Mr. Lewis.
I said, great.
Okay, we're going to say hi to Ray Lewis' mother for just a second. Mrs. Lewis, you know, you said something yesterday. That you know, well, I'll walk with her. Yeah, and you said, you know, the thing that she said, and we're going to let it go because she's walking with Ray, so I want to get in real quick. She said, you know, she didn't like the idea of that their salaries being told.
Talk about that for a minute.
Okay. Well, I didn't like the NFL
because
they salaries,
they put
them out as targets.
Is Cedric on the line?
Mrs. Lewis is going in with her son now. Baby Ray. I gotta get that. So okay, we're going in inside. Let's try to get
hey Dusty, you don't agree
yeah.
with me on that? That we should try to get
I
a
do.
No?
That's why I said, oh my God, that was a good thought.
We're
gonna
put
yeah,
that
yeah,
controversy
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
yeah. Hold on a second.
You wanna start another quarterback controversy, Lady A.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen. I
wow.
put it out there. You guys are holding back. What's the story?
Hey, Lady A, we're going
to
let you take the weight on this one.
I got nothing to say. Lady A,
you're
playing right
now.
Lady A,
you're playing
right
now.
You got to pee.
Wow, lady. Wow. That was strong there. Whew, that was our left field there. You
mm-hmm.
a home run there.
Mm-hmm.
oh,
wow.
Hold on,
man.
Coach,
you're
going to get a hold of
I'm not still wide open.
Get Ray Lewis for a second. we got Reggie.
Ray Lewis Ravens?
Excuse me?
Ray Lewis Ravens?
No. You won't?
Yes, he said Ray
okay.
Lewis.
Okay, well, she said Ray won't talk now. So we got his mom. We'll go back and get the McNabbs. We got Reggie earlier. Well, we got Ray yesterday from the interview from the other setup. So.
How about any rookies
good.
Over there, Doc?
No, well, this is not a situation of rookies. It's a situation of the gala. And I guess they will. They're not rookies. We're going to have a lot of the former players that will be here. You know, as an organization, and the thing here is a combination of awareness, is a combination of unison, is a combination of people being here. You go.
Yeah, because watching on TV yesterday, they had some of all coaches
right.
play for the team, calling the draft choices yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That was
right.
nice. They had Deion Sanders. They had
yeah,
some of the old players. That was really nice. And
mm-hmm.
they had them call their team's draft picks. That was
mm-hmm.
nice. That was
absolutely.
Really nice. That was
okay,
really nice.
Okay.
They announced them on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon Sharp, all it was really nice. I really
yeah,
liked
Shannon
that.
Sharp and all when they did the
yeah, on
the
yeah. When I saw Deion, I was happy.
Deion.
You know,
oh, well,
time,
let me get back out here and get a. Let me see if I can bother Ray for an autograph.
Lady
A,
what's that? Lady A, what? Where'd you come with that idea? That was a blast. I couldn't get over that one.
Listen, listen. You know why? If you guys look across the board in every sport, you always need veteran leadership. I mean,
exactly,
come on.
Exactly.
It just seems like the Jets are lacking that one trait. And why not have it from a guy that has a stellar background like McNabb? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
13 years in the league, you know, you could always use a guy like that, man. You know?
Yeah, all right. McNabb, wow. I know Cedric would be proud of you with that one.
Listen, this isn't coming from Cedric. It's coming from me. Get it right, all right?
Yeah.
Get it right. You just don't get it wrong.
You still got to steal the steel curtain.
Sanchez is going to boycott your house. Boom.
Who's going to boycott my house? Who? Sanchez is going to boycott your house.
The boys want to boycott
me? Who, Cedric? No, that's Cedric's team, the Jets. You don't like that idea.
Boycott your house. How dare you?
Hey, listen. Listen, until I get an autographed copy of Rex Ryan's book, I won't be happy, all right?
Oh, yeah, you got a book coming out Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
This Tuesday, yeah. All right, talk about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Austin, everybody, I heard that.
Mm-hmm. He talks about everybody. He traveled everybody.
Well, the book's
okay,
out.
Listen, let's go back out. Let's talk to
the
other McNabb. The father, and okay, I got him over in the corner. Okay, so let me go over and get Mr. Mack.
Father McNabb, okay.
Wow, Daddy.
Leave
it
to Dr. Corner, the subject.
See if you guys bring up the whole situation about veteran leadership.
Can we get a small commercial hit right here, and we'll come back with Mr. McNabb.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. From BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth. Live here from the Grand Hyatt Hotel, the UAF Affair. We spoke earlier to Mr. Meant to go over and catch up with Ray, but we spoke to the founder. And now we're going to talk to, we spoke to the lovely mother of Leonard McNabb. We're going to speak to his dad. And so the panel, for the next few minutes, you'll have a chance to talk to Mr. Mack. And
wow.
let me check. Because, you know, what he talked about yesterday, Dusty, too, was the fact that
mm-hmm.
you know, as unaware, Rooney, Lady A, as the athletes are in this whole situation, so unaware are the parents. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that the jungle that the kids are, you know, being indulged into. So, well, you know, you'll get a chance.
There's a lot of pressure
got
hanging up over there, Doc. An awful lot of pressure. I mean, are you going high? Are you going low? What round?
Exactly.
What team? Where we're flying to? A lot of pressure, Doc. That, you know, the average person just can't even comprehend. Right.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, too. That's one of the things. I think Bigger Show may have just jumped in the air. That was the thing they were saying. But the big thing is just the unawareness. It's amazing we got Reggie today. I was trying to get over and catch some of Ray Lewis, but we have Ray. We'll run that on the show tomorrow. We spoke earlier about him, but I think it is the Brigger Show popped up here. But we're going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if Sea Wings was here, we would know for sure. But so far, our panel we got a good hit. You know, we've had the young man who was the winner. We had the founder. The lovely Mrs. McNabb, and now we're going to get her husband in here. And then we're going to talk to C.J. Jordan. She's at the PR here, but she works in an organization that helps military families once they are, gone on. So a host of things happening here. And look at some of the silent auction stuff here, man. I'm looking at it, man. They've got a a nice picture of Frank Sinatra, but they've got some Michael Jackson. They got an autographed dry set of Michael Jackson, and
wow,
they've got a nice picture here, man. Nice picture. Check this out. Autographed by Elvis Presley and Muhammad Ali. the king and the greatest. In February 1973, Ali and Elvis met in Las Vegas. During the visit, Elvis gave Ali a embezzled a robe.
Yeah, right.
with the words,
yeah,
the people's champion. Ali gave Elvis boxing gloves inscribed, "You're the greatest." And the
wow,
photo of that situation here next to was Jimi Hendrix. No autograph on that, though. But
right,
this one is exclusive. They've got in silver Ali and Elvis's autograph on this piece of picture here. Nobody's bid for it just yet. And,
hey, any basketball concerned, Ali is...
Huh?
Any basketball...
Yeah, we have a basketball on the end autographed by Charles Barkley. I'm going to make it in here real quick and catch Mr. McNabb. Well, he's still talking. Yeah, we have a basketball by Charles Barkley on the end. But the Elvis thing is amazing.
Yes.
I mean, what happened, you know, Michael Jackson, and then I look, and there's the Elvis and the Ali. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Let me go back over and charge this phone up just a little bit before things happen. Hold on.
Quite, it's amazing how they got all the memorabilia, if I said it correctly, and all the stuff that they got there.
Mr. Mack, before he rolls away, he was cornered in there, but we're going to try to run over Mrs. Mack. Mr. Mack, you got a minute, too? Okay. Hey, it's okay. You spoke earlier to Mrs. Mack. Here's Mr. Mack. Mr. Mack. Okay. Mr. Sam. And panel, you got him. That thing he talked about, I just saw an autograph by Julius Erving. Okay, oh, Julius did. The thing you spoke about, too, was not only the unawareness of the athletes, but the parents.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's about weak here.
Good. I'm sorry.
Hello. How are we doing, sir? Mr. McNabb.
I'm doing fine. Thank you. How are you?
Fine. But, we're very honored that you come on to our show. This is a sports show where we just talk and discuss all elements of sports. One of the questions, I'm very sure that it was asked of you many times, but this is the first time I'm asking. Did you play sports? I mean, did you play sports which then introduced your son into the sports?
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, did... I played football, basketball, and baseball.
Wow.
Quite naturally. I never did make it to the big leagues, but I felt I was talented, calling, so to speak. Hello?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. McMillan Smith Jr. here, and again, a pleasure and honor to have you on the show, sir.
Oh, my pleasure.
I would like to know, how do you take the initial pressure when you know that Donna... I'll put it this way. Let me phrase it actually a little bit differently. How did you? Were you concerned, like most times, their son announces that they like football, they like playing it, and they want to do it?
Now, what was the question again? How did I like what?
How did you handle the initial? I don't know if I should say shock or pressure of knowing that you're of knowing his son wanted to partake in such a rough and tumble sport?
You know what? I think it was just one of those things that happened because, you know, he started off playing baseball and then it evolved into basketball. And then at some point in time, he said he wanted to try his hand at football. And so my wife was a little apprehensive because, of course, it's a physical game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then talking with her and then really talking to see if he was sincere, you know, we just had house rules in our particular home that if you started something, you had to finish it.
Right.
And so when I confronted him about that and he was at that time interested in playing the game, you know, I said, well, okay, now you know the house rules. He said, yeah, I understand, I know. But to our, you know, surprise, he actually did well. And so he became extremely interested in playing football. And, you know, at that time, him being a frail kid was really part of our concern,
right,
you know, as parents, because we didn't think he was going to ever get, you know, big enough to play the game. But
right.
He surprised us.
Mm-hmm.
He surprised us. And so we enjoyed the game. He took it very seriously. And so it was just an easy transition from that point, you know, because – I knew that if he enjoyed it, he was going to stick with it. Right. So even in all of that, you know, it's just a blessing to have your kids aspire to do something.
Exactly.
And then within a period of time, they get a chance to live out their aspirations and develop goals from these things. And so to see him at this level,
right,
it's just a tremendous blessing. I mean, I could have never really called this. You know, I could have hoped for it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, we kind of did to a degree say, well, you know, if he's that good, then we hope that he get a chance to play at the highest level. And he's doing that.
Right.
And so
now, Mr. Mack, just between us, Mr. Mack, now don't worry. No, just between us, you and I and the panel, just between us, don't worry about the NCAA rules. Did you take a high school or college offensive line out for stakes to make sure they protected your boy, Mr. Mack? That's what we want
to know. Did I do what now? See, now you're about to make me try and say something.
Did you take a high school or college offensive line out for stakes on the weekend to make sure they protected your boy, the offensive line, Mr. Mack? Make sure they went out for stakes.
You know what? I'm going to tell you the honest goodness truth. I didn't even have to go there. And furthermore, with the income that I was making, I couldn't afford to pay all those kids to eat like they eat, you know. And so, you know, the best I could do was give them a Happy Meal, but I know that wasn't the best thing to make them upset. And so I just stayed out of it, you know. But the truth of the matter is, and I've always shared this with Donovan, I told him, you know, you got to play the quarterback position. You've got to be the ambassador of the team.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't have a certain group that you associate with and affiliate with. You know, you got to take care of those guys that take care of you as well as everybody else on the team. And so he got it early, and he's done a good job in making sure those guys in front of him are happy.
Yeah.
Because that's the last thing
you
want to do.
And you know, Mr. Mack, not only do we all know, and obviously you know better than others, not only does it take an incredible physical skill, but you have to be an incredibly cerebral person to play the quarterback of his position, especially in the NFL.
Well, you know what's interesting? Yeah, what's interesting to me is that's one of the things that's never really mentioned a lot when it comes to us, unfortunately. You know, we're perceived to be athletic, but not very intelligent. But I guarantee you that there is not a quarterback, I don't care what color he is, that if he can't understand how to decipher a playbook and understand what he's supposed to do back there behind that center,
exactly,
I can guarantee you he's not going to last long in whatever he does.
You know, Mr. Mack, not to dominate the conversation, but you know what really I was shocked of the first time I saw a pro playbook was not only do you have to know exactly what your role is, but Mr. Mack, you have to know everyone else's role.
Again. Again, that's another thing that they never bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so what we have to do is we have to make that a known factor that, you know, one guy, because he does well at that position, isn't the only one that understands what he's supposed to do and what he expects others to do that's in front of him as well. And so I'll give you another tidbit as well. Donovan's playbook in Syracuse was probably as big or larger than it was with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So nobody told you that before, did they?
No,
not at all.
I'm hearing this, sir.
Okay.
One of the things that I love about Donovan, and I'm a stickler for this, in every football team,
mm-hmm,
is the quarterback who scrambles. For God's sake. A lot of guys, they die in that pocket, but Donovan finds a way to beat you with his legs. To me, he is a tight end who's a quarterback, or a quarterback who's a running back. But this man does everything. I guess it's part of knowing the entire playbook. He does everything that has to be done to make sure that that victory is attached to, you know, to the team. And did he do that when he was a kid, you know, started scrambling and getting out of the pocket and
Oh, yeah. That happened way back in when he first started in grammar school. I mean, you know, he was one of those kind of guys, you know, he just had that sixth sense. That sixth sense to know when to get up out of there. I mean, you know, I am so happy he fine-tuned that, especially at this stage of the game.
Right.
And so, you know, there are not a lot of guys that are blessed with that ability, but to see that, it's just an amazement, you know.
What's really even more amazing, Mr. Mack, is, you know, I don't have to tell you, the average fan would just look,
but not truly be able to appreciate the heart that it takes. I mean, you know, to get out of the comfortability of the pocket and have that pocket break down and have him take off in this age of, in this age of 6'5", 330 pounds, that takes a lot of heart.
Right. Well, I'm telling you something, man. You know, we all get inspired and motivated. If we saw a 300-some-pound guy running behind us trying to do due diligence to us, you know what I'm saying? You know, even at my size and age, I think I have to get up out of that, too. I probably run about 4'4". Come on, man. You know, because you know what the end result is.
Speaking of the draft, sir, I know you saw the draft. What is your feeling, your aspirations, or how do you think? I know that Donovan made it great. He's 13 years in the league. How do you think, what would be the success, I mean, I'm going to try to run this back. What would be the success rate of a Cam Newton coming in, being drafted number one to the Panthers? I believe it was the Panthers. How do you perceive this young man who's so talented? I watched him all the way through college, and my God. This guy's
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm kind of glad you asked me that question because, you know, there has not been a lot of positive conversations in regard to Cam Newton.
First and foremost,
let us understand that he did what he needed to do to prepare himself to get to this level.
Absolutely.
Now, they can say whatever they want to say, but the bottom line is if he couldn't play the game, they would have never drafted him.
Absolutely.
He would have never been close to being drafted.
Right.
Now,
right,
they can
right.
say all these other little things, all these little cliches and all these little innuendos that they come up with, you know, and I got my own reason and rhyme behind all that, and I won't talk about that because I think first and foremost, you all know what it is, okay?
Absolutely.
So what we got to do as fans is that we've got to look past what we hear from the people that talk about him in a negative sense.
Right.
And so what we've got to do more than anything else, and I'm going to guarantee you this, I don't care what quarterback went in the draft yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be great on that field the first year, no matter what, because they have to learn the game.
Now,
he is in a position where he can not only learn the game, but he can actually change the game. Keep that in mind now. Remember Michael Vick, Donovan, and those kind of class of quarterbacks? Literally changed the game.
The science of the game. Absolutely.
Right. Now, you're talking about a kid that's about 6'5", 6'6", that can motor, that can do those things that those guys like Donovan can do and Michael Vick can do.
Exactly.
That's a scary situation.
He's 6'6", 230. My Lord. And,
that's a scary situation.
He threw for 30 touchdowns and he ran for 20 himself. I mean, this kid,
you know,
is it amazing?
And I'm going to be honest with you in this situation, too. I think that more than anything else, what is going to determine the level of success that he has is the people that they put in front of him to teach him the game and the other people in front of him that protect him during the game.
I see.
So that is going to be the difference maker that's going to determine how much of a success or a failure he'll become.
Right.
The other thing, are things that I think that are more important that are on a personal level, is that he has to be very careful in who he associates with and he'll surround himself with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay?
Amen to that,
Mr. McNabb, how you doing? This is Lady A on the panel.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask you a quick question.
Yes.
You know, through sports and through history, sometimes you have people that come along and every so often, and they're able to maintain their level of success in whatever position they're in. What I'd like to ask you is what are some of the qualities that you feel as an athlete, primarily as a quarterback, are needed in the sport of the NFL to maintain that level of success like your son has?
Okay, hold on just a second. I believe that you guys are going on a station break or commercial break. Hold on.
Oh.
Okay, is this you again, Dusty?
No, Mr. McNabb says we're going on a station break.
Who is the producer
of the show?
What's that?
Mr. McNabb is now the producer of the show. He says we're going on a station break.
He took over now.
I got to do a break here. Dusty, I think what I want to do is I want to see your birth certificate, okay? All right, let's get that straight. And bilingual. Okay, it's bilingual. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth with Blake, Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, Sports and Depth Show. We're taking a break. We're talking to the incomparable Mr. Sam McNabb, the father of the great Donald McNabb and his lovely wife. Mr. Knapp, I want you to start with just a second. I just want to charge you. Okay, you're going to have him back again. Just want to do a little plug. I didn't want the phone to go out on me, but make sure you ask him about his organization, too. I want you to ask him questions about his organization. So you want, that's a big thing here, his organization. I guess the big thing he said was also the lack of intellect about this, not only of the players, but the parents. But once again, and Dusty, you're done. Let everybody else ask questions, okay? You're finished, okay? Once I see the pain, especially on their face, I say, it's that goddamn Dusty again. Dusty's your last show, baby.
I have to make this announcement. I'm retiring. I'm going back to England. I'm going back to England
Somebody else grabbed them. Now, Rooney, you're cool. Cause I know you're not part of the coup. Okay, so you're safe. You know, Lady A is in too. What do you say? But you know,
it's okay, Doc. No big deal. I was just in bed asking a very good question, but it's okay.
No, he's coming up now. And gentlemen, you know, he's enjoying this. Once again, I got to tell everybody in the world, ain't nobody got it like I got it because I got the coup. They can say over there, hey, later for the 69 Mets. Later for the 29 Yankees, I got the greatest of all time. He'll be back.
Exactly. Wherever Lady A is going, I'm going.
Rooney, you know, hey, Rooney, cut the somersaults, okay? You know what I mean? Straighten up. Yeah, go ahead.
Doc, you want to interview Lady K and Prince Williams after the wedding?
I've already got it on tape.
You got it on tape?
I've already got it on tape. Here, Mr. Mack is back. Ladies and gentlemen, part two of Mr. Sam McNabb. Mr.
Mack, hello.
Hello, sir. Oh, no. Welcome back.
Glad you have me back on the show. This is Mr. Rooster. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you about your organization and what you think about the Redskins picks.
Okay, well, I tell you what. First of all, my organization was started back in the year 2000. And the question in 1999 was asked by me by another father whose son was in the draft with Donovan. He asked, was there a father's club or anything that would come together and help the fathers of the players to understand how to help their sons maximize their potential on and off the field? And I said, well, you know, as far as I know, I don't think so. And if it is, I've never heard of it, so whatever it is, it's still in existence somewhere, and they're doing a fine job keeping it away from us. And so in that, I said, well, you know what? Let's talk about maybe starting an association that we can help new fathers who have sons that are coming into the league understand what it's like to be an NFL father. And since that time, you know, we've had a struggle trying to get our men to come on board with us. Because in all actualities, we know that on the other side of the tracks, those guys are communicating with each other. You know, they're keeping abreast of everything that's going on in the NFL, NFLPA, and in society at large. And so we're the only ones that did not have a connect.
Yeah.
And so as a result of that, what I, along with the other gentlemen that initiated the Fathers Association, our plan was to try and tie into the NFL and the NFLPA so that we could have a presence, you know, within those two entities that could help us to help our sons do the best that they could do on and off the field.
Right.
And that's how that came about.
All right.
Well,
Mr. McNabb, congratulations on you taking, a pond, you know, yourself to be, you know, an interesting, I should say an integral part. You know, getting, you know, the fathers together because, you know, you are a very special group, Mr. McNabb. Few folks know what is the pressure and the intenseness and pressure is of having a son play professional football. I mean, I know you wouldn't come out and say it, and usually the mothers don't either, but in essence what they are professional gladiators.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, they are. And I think one of the things that really go unnoticed by the mass is just how level of an expectation is placed upon them to be all of that and then some.
Right.
And then try to maintain a status quo as a human being.
Right.
Right. And that's one of the things I think that, you know, the fans are unforgiving to a degree because they idolize those guys and they wish they could be them, but they don't understand what it's like to be them.
Right.
Or don't have the patience to try to understand what it's like, what it's they're going through. Let me ask you this, Mr. Mack, if I may. You know, I was at, and Dusty being a former championship fighter will also understand this. You know, I remember being at a heavyweight title fight once, and one of the fighters' moms was in front of us. Literally, the poor woman had tears in her eyes on every blow that one of the fighters took. Every blow, you could see her feeling every blow that he took.
Mr. McNabb,
when you see him getting hit by, say, some blindside, you know, by some blindside hit, do you feel that when you're sitting up in the stand at home?
Well, you know what?
You know, the impact, the
yeah,
well,
the one thing
really
I
had to calm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what you're trying to ask me. Do I cringe when you get hit?
Absolutely. Do you feel like, I mean, do you actually kind of feel the crunch yourself? Not so much physically, but like, oh my goodness. You know,
yeah,
he's hurt,
you know
some 330-pound moose just hit him from the blind side.
Well, I'll be, come on, man. You know, come on now. I think I could ask you this question. When you watch TV and you see a guy get blindsided, and you know he got a good hit on him.
Absolutely.
Don't you say, wow.
What a hit.
Don't you get that wow
effect? Mr. McNabb, coming from the world of professional wrestling, I've suffered in many of those.
What's more in depth in the question is that it's from a humane side because this is your son. You're right, Mel. We watch the guys get blindsided, and sometimes they're groggy. The concussions come in, but you know we feel. But then we go on to the next play. But this is your son who got blindsided, and this is more humane. Yeah,
I think the difference is, you know, for us that are in it, and we know that this is part of the game. You know, it doesn't affect us like one might think, you know, other than the fact of just making sure that after the hit, he's able to get up.
Exactly.
And he's able to continue
playing.
Yeah,
that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Right.
But if he stays down.
You know, Mr. McNabb, I once heard Siason say, obviously former quarterback for the Bengals and other NFL teams, you know, I heard him say that he was in his last year in the pros, and I believe he said it was the first year of playing against. It was his last year and Ray Lewis's first year.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. McNabb, he said, and I quote, "I couldn't believe the fury and the anger in which this guy was coming across the line."
You got to understand.
He's like, I've
right?
never seen anything like it in all the playing football. I couldn't believe the anger and the fury this dude was bringing.
Yeah, Ray Lewis is a very intense young man.
Intense.
And you have to understand that. So, you know, if we didn't have an understanding about how intense he was, we'd probably be standing around trying to find out where he lived so we can really have a personal conversation with him and let him know he needs to change his game, you know.
Right.
But now we understand, and trust me again, we don't take it to heart because we understand it's the nature of the game.
Yeah.
These men are asked to do a lot and
absolutely
try and keep the fan base entertained, and so we understand that. But the biggest thing is because we also know that we have to maintain a very serious prayer life.
Right.
To keep our kids covered. You know, when they get up and they walk away from it, that's just as awesome as the hit was, you know, to us. So that's basically the nature of it. That was someone that asked me a question earlier before you took a break, and I didn't want to, you know, omit or slight them, but if they could ask me it again, maybe I have a chance to answer real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. McNabb. That would be me, Lady A, ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
In regards to what you feel separates those that are able to maintain their longevity in the sport and success from those that just come in and are in the sport for like 4 or 5 years and may have somewhat of a successful, you know, time period in the NFL, but not be able to rise above the rest like a Joe Montana or your son. So what allows them to maintain that longevity in your perspective?
Well, I think, first of all, I think that there has to be a very high level of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that you also have to have a high level of talent. And you have to be blessed to have, you know, that extra whatever it is that makes you a little bit better than the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, true enough, everyone may not have that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the professional levels, you also have to understand that whoever is at that level, they deserve to be there because they're just that good to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, what determines how well they do is how much they put into it, you know, how intense they look at playing the game, and then how well they take care and preserve themselves so they can, you know, have that longevity.
Right.
Mm.
Because, I mean, you know, football's the kind of game, I mean, you don't determine when you get hurt or how you get hurt.
How you get, and then you want to, as they say, you want to suck it up and man up and continue playing.
Yeah,
But you're a human being. Well, on the negative side, and forgive me if you get angry, but I have to ask you this question. This prevailing cancer of steroids in sports, what is your feel on that? I mean, because I know McNabb and all them guys are clean, hardworking guys. I mean,
yeah.
13 years in a sport of football, I mean, that's a heck of a conditioning of this young man. You know, but
well, you know what?
But you
do it naturally.
Right.
And anytime you have to inject or you have to intake anything that's going to be detrimental to your body
right.
at some point in your life, it cannot be good.
Right.
And so, you know, whereas it may appear to give you an advantage today,
right.
the disadvantages outweigh the advantage at any time, you know, as you look at it.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, let's look at the ones that have taken them and then have either, you know, passed on or are
right.
just totally and damaged.
Yeah,
you know, damage
both.
Yeah. Yeah.
The physical damages.
It's really crazy. Well, you know what? Listen, guys, I enjoyed the conversation with you. And I hope I gave you guys
it's so enriching. I mean, we talk to the athlete, but now we talk to the parents, and it's so much more in-depth and so enriching that God bless
the
you.
The power of all, indeed.
Thank you, Mr. McNabb. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you. You're welcome. Have a great day. Here, hold on just a second.
Hope you still have a great season.
Thank you, Mr. McNabb. I'll email you a copy of
the show.
Okay, thanks so much.
Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, Sound Sports Depth of the show. Well, you can see why Dunvin is a successful young man. His father and his mother, you know, and you know, the concerns here. You heard his dad, you know.
Yeah.
Mother, I'm not going to let anybody hurt him. Dusty, I thought you, didn't I tell you to go home?
No, this is a recording.
Oh my God.
Hey, it's not only in America, you know what I mean? Adios, mio. You know, I'm looking at this auction thing, and it's quite, you know, it's going down the table. They got some heavy stuff here, man, and they've got an autographed picture of Pelé. Okay.
Wow.
They got a tri-autographed picture of Magic, Michael and Larry Bird. Right behind me is a Mickey Mantle tribute here. It's on at 3,500. Autographed picture, Mickey, if I got to have this picture. And another setup. Yeah.
Yo, you doing any bidding over there, Doc?
Any what?
You bidding over there?
Are you doing any bidding?
You doing any bidding over there?
What'd you say? I'm doing
anything
right
now? He said, are you doing any bidding over there, Doc? You bidding on anything for us?
Listen, hey, Rudy, as Marion Borgen said, I got this stuff at home already.
Oh!
You got
Ergo, Rudy, ergo, you up
the
panel, I am
listen,
the host.
Listen, and the bottom line is, and listen, and here's the bottom line. You know what? I'm going to go for a minute. And I know my stuff is legit now. I'm going to look at the table. Okay. They got an autographed Julius Erving jersey here. I got one of those at home with about four pairs of sneakers. Okay. Now let's go over here. They got an autographed picture of Pelé. I got two of those at home and an autographed.
Yeah, we're going to have an auction in Doc's house.
Huh?
We're going to have an auction in Doc's house.
You know what? In fact, I think this jersey, well, this is from my house. They got it. I think this is my ball. My trust ball. This is my ball.
Somebody broke
this is my ball.
I told you so.
Hey, raise your house,
Yeah,
oh,
man.
No.
I thought about you. They had an autograph picture of John Starks doing that tremendous dunk.
Oh, that's my guy, Starks.
Yeah,
that's my guy.
Yeah, you go. So they got that picture here. And go ahead. Somebody want to say anything. They got a picture of Jerick. They got a Reggie Jackson autograph picture. I got a couple of those at the crib. They've got that. I tell you what they do have, which I don't have. I have an autographed Dick Butkus picture here. Then they got a picture here of DiMaggio and Mantle, which I have. And they really didn't like each other. They got an autographed picture of the Stock Exchange, the Big Four there.
Oh, for real?
Stock Exchange. Wow.
Abdul
Salam and Company.
Yeah, Azul,
Gassano,
Greco,
Mario,
and that starts at $275. They also have they've got an autographed picture of Leonard Marshall, hand signed second to Montana. Now listen, I don't want to say nothing, but I have a Leonard Marshall practice jersey in my house, autographed. Did I say that?
Hey Doc, stop showing off. Stop showing off.
No.
We call this place, Doc. Everybody, for the uninitiated fans listening from the Sports Talk Nation out there, the Doc Nation, Lady A, you know that we place the Docstonian.
Listen,
you can't call his house the National Hall of Fame Wide World of Sports.
Forget about Channel 7. And listen, and also, let everybody know it's in East Orange, New Jersey.
I actually heard Doc had a piece of plane from Wilbur and Orville Wright.
Rooney, I don't have a propeller, but I got the chair.
Is that good enough?
A point well taken.
He got his glass from Yankee Stadium and O'Shea Stadium.
Well, you talk about that Yankee Stadium situation, and you know when the stadium closed the first time, Doc Stanley Sports Endeavor on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Souls Channel Sports Endeavor the show, and we at the UAA tribute tonight. Dominic Wilkins received an award, but Dominic won't be here due to the fact that he the Hawks are playing in the playoffs. I don't understand what the Hawks have got to do. I mean, the Hawks didn't get too far when he was playing. But he won't be here. I don't know if Jerry Rice is supposed to be here, but Ray Lewis is here. And once again, the young man whose name I should find out, who was in that situation where he swam out of the car before his mother submerged him along with his other sister and brothers. He's here. We met yesterday, and he came over to me right away and said hi, gave me a little hug and a kiss. He's here. The UAF has vowed that they will take care of him and make sure that he he's taking care of the rest of his life. And so let's go through this table again. Like I said, let's see what they have on here. They have a picture here of the two Knicks, Melo and Stoudemire. No, Melo and Stoudemire. Large Sports Illustrated picture that was Michael Phelps. They have one of those. The Dream Team. Yeah, I think it was unique here to have two to have, and I don't have a lot of. They have autographed pictures from 1966 Masters, Ben Hogan, and Arnold Palmer. Now I do have an autographed ball by name, and I do have an autographed Jack Nicklaus picture. And you know what? You know what I have too? I thought about. I have an autographed Sam Snead. I met because Sam Snead before Tiger Woods got into the game.
Right.
That African Americans would do well in golf because golf was a game of rhythm. Golf was a game of rhythm, and he said that he felt that they would do well. And
right.
So, from a golfing standpoint of view, I have that. Like I said, the thing that wows me here, I think the one thing, and let me show you the price of this, and this is not bad. This Elvis and Ollie limited edition, the king and the greatest, opening bid is $500. And
that's
I don't
not
know
bad.
The yeah, sell.
Hey, Doc, anything sell over there? Anything moved from there yet? Anything moved?
No,
anything
ain't nothing moved. Ain't nothing moved. And also, ain't nothing in my pocket, okay? Hoops, okay? Ain't nothing moved. Ain't nothing in my pocket, okay?
Ain't nothing in your pocket. Ain't nothing moved. Ain't nothing in your pocket.
Yeah,
that's
not personal. You know what? It's amazing that you said. Let me see. Of all these items here, I haven't seen. You know what? Nothing has been bidden on just yet.
Are they waiting to do the auction, Doc? Are they waiting just to do the auction?
No. It's a silent auction. Okay, we do have a bid.
Oh, okay.
You know what's amazing? The thing that right now has the biggest bid is the limited edition of the inauguration of our president. Okay,
wow.
Barack Obama, our president. That's right, our president.
Obama,
my president. He probably
how much
they
want
probably
for him, Doc?
It started at $350, but right now the D Wooden has made a bid of $375 on it. So that right now is the only thing that has moved. You know, Obama,
wow.
Obama, my president is he. Finally okay. Proud to sing my country to the V. Another poem I wrote about Barack. You know, it was funny. I saw a little tweet that Steve Martin did. Steve Martin said, I found Donald Trump's birth certificate. It was in Hawaii. he said,
is that being auctioned?
No. He said, I found Donald Trump's birth certificate. He was born in Hawaii. Hold on. He said, I found Donald Trump's birth certificate. He was born in Hawaii before it became a state. I'm having a problem with that.
Okay. That is funny.
Steve
they need to find
what they need to find that Trump's is his real hair. That's what they need to find.
that's in Hawaii before it became a state, too. But I'll tell you something. Of all the things that have bidded on, the only thing so far that I see has been the inauguration. Okay. Other silent auction bid is the Jim Valvano limited edition. Somebody made a bid on that.
Any boxing gloves, Doc? Any boxing gloves?
No, boxing stuff. That you mentioned, no boxing stuff at all. Okay, another bid has been made on the New York Yankees limited edition 27 champions ticket masterpiece. But as I look, Lady A, and only you, the first lady of boxing, would even come up with that idea. There's nothing. Okay, three bids out of all this stuff, and there's no boxing. You're right, gang. Okay,
wow.
Look at the other side.
You mean to tell me, Doc, that my Golden Glove picture's not there?
Oh, my God.
Well, actually, that's what I have in my pocket.
Well, they probably got an autograph that of Manny Ramirez there.
You know what? You're right. You know what? It says, Dear Dusty, love Manny. Autograph bat.
And on the other side of that bat, Doc, it says Manny being Manny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord.
Doc Stanley Sports and F on the Blake Radio Network, coming live from the Grand Hyatt in New York City. You know, we've kind of been everywhere. We've down to Pittsburgh. We've been to Baltimore and Annapolis, I'd say. So we're rocking and rolling.
And we're going to be in the Boxing Hall of Fame, too, right, Doc?
What date is that? I'm going to be in Brazil, but if you know what we can do, we can set it up now with Big C. Big C, we can work something with the Skype and that, but we could probably broadcast it. But actually, you know what? I'm kind of boycotting that because of the fact that...
Stallone.
Well, not that. Later, I'm thinking about me. Later for Stallone.
Yeah, but you know what? We could do something where we talk about what's going on with you out there. You know what I mean?
When I couldn't vote no more. No, but it's the thing too. It's the situation of not recognizing Art Ross Jr., recognizing
Paige.
That's great. Yeah,
you're great. Well, I mean, well, you know that can be subjective. I mean, Greg was outstanding heavyweight. I mean, but she's right. I mean, if you're gonna put a fake boxer, it wasn't that good in there, and
Rock
not even
fire.
Consider, yeah, put him in there. So yeah, that's some thoughts too.
Costa Zoo's
mentioned.
You got a question? Why Costa Zoo?
Yeah. I mean,
I mean, there are some guys
there that are listed that you can't say no to. I mean, Cesar Chavez, come on, Tyson, come on.
We're not saying that, but I'm saying, how serious can you be when every year you can put 12 people in a Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
12
exactly.
people?
Right. Yeah,
I mean, you're talking 12 people. I mean, the list, it's like a book when you get the list, you know what I mean?
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, but you're putting
12 people
in. I don't
want to change the subject, Doc, but, you know, speaking of boxing, just quickly, panel, you know, Berto lost an awful lot of coin losing that Rumble a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely.
He's just about to take a step to the next.
And not only that.
Yes, Lady A.
Go ahead, Rooney. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, not at all. I was just going to say he's about to take a step to that huge big money plateau, maybe get in a discussion about pound for pound
And
right.
he lost an awful lot of coin blowing that
well,
up.
Yeah, he lost coin, he lost stature, but I mean, but you know, that's the thing about a fight. You know, as a pitcher, you can lose a game today. You're going to pitch again 3 or 4 days. As
a hitter,
they get you out.
Right.
You know, you're going to come to bat the next day. But you know, when you lose a fight, that's why you got to look about how remarkable. I'm just going to get Miss C.J. Jordan over here for a minute. She's busy, but maybe we can get her on. Hold on a second, gang.
And Lady A, you can interrupt me anytime. I will take a back seat to you any day of the week. And by the way, Lady A, we're
listen,
going
to listen. I try not to cut anybody off. You know, we gotta kind of maintain a level of professionalism over here.
Hey,
Lady A,
could you say that again? Also, Big C, understand. I've got when I give you the signal, anybody that's out of hand, just delete them off. Puff them off. Okay? Okay? You've got that. And I'm not going to say anything, but always be aware of Dusty. He may have to be the exact. Gang, you know.
I get pounded here all the time.
Yeah, but you keep coming. I like your style. You get it every time, baby. You get it every time.
I get it.
Gang, you know, this is once again, and to the people out there listening across the world, as we found out up in England and stuff, there's no better crew than my crew. They're here, so they can. I mean, you had to see the comfort and the glee and the joy on the face of Mr. McNabb as he was talking to the panel.
Wow.
Mr. McNabb was like he was just right at home. You know what I mean?
Right.
The young
right.
man was
yeah.
just he was mystified, and at the same time, he was just so elated to be. You know, and of course, I like the whole idea, the fact that, you know, he started swimming because his mother couldn't swim. That was tremendous. Okay, I got to find some other players here. Hold on a minute. Who do we got here? Who do we just talk to? Hold on again. You know what? Talk to each other. I got to find out who we have over here so I can get...
Rooney, listen. I was just going to ask you before, like, remember how you were just saying now about Birdo? Losing the money. Like, my thing was, you know it's bad when you're watching commentary a few days later. And, Dusty, I know you constantly stay on top of this.
Right.
That they were talking about how, hey, you know what? This guy just upset him. And so it's going all over boxing that this guy was upset, and he's the upset of the year.
Yeah, but
and, Lady A, the thing that really was the deal with that was they were just about to talk to him on that kind of best pound for pound level,
exactly.
In the
exactly.
same, you know, in the same, the
he
same sentences as the
yeah. okay.
Right.
But you
right.
see,
yeah.
what's happening here is that he brought it on himself. Number
exactly.
one, because of the mm-hmm. fact that the commentators, Max Hellerman, Larry Merchant, and Lampley, and Emmanuel Sue were saying,
and
this guy,
on the other side.
He should be fighting. Upper class, upper quality.
You're right. They were saying upper class competition.
Right.
You're right.
And,
okay.
And,
okay,
and then they also questioned the fact that when the tragedy in Haiti was over, how come he didn't honor Shane Mosley?
Right.
And that
right.
would have been.
That's what they did.
In the meantime, he was just taking tomato cans, and this tomato can, because he lost to Maidana, I mean, fooled him. April Fool.
Well, you know what? That's a question that. That we don't have to worry about being answered anymore. A lot of it has to be with,
yeah.
you know, you look at the Bella. This boy has lost. And now, on the other hand, Malignaggi is gone. Malignaggi is gone. But the Bella always has that ace in his pocket, man, when he has them.
Yeah, his ace is going to be Sergio Martinez. I'm telling you.
Yeah, exactly. That's
his ace is Sergio Martinez. I'm
yeah.
telling you.
That's
the one.
Hey, gentlemen. Okay, Dusty, we got Derek Anderson here. He's former player, and he's here at the meeting tonight, so you can talk to him. First of all, thank you for being with us. And why? What brings you up tonight?
We wanted to be a support system for LaShawn. I think it was great that we can support someone. You know, you can't do it by yourself, and in this situation, he's got a network and a support system to help him get through what he's doing. And we want to prevent cancer instead of trying to treat it, so we're in prevention mode, and I'm looking forward to get him through it.
No, I'm not correct. You handled your own negotiations, Michael. Yeah, you went online. Explain it. Tell us, panel, you got Derek, he's going to tell you what happened. Then, Dusty, you're the last one to ask the question. Huh? But you handled your own negotiations.
What I did was just understood I need to get my contract together, and I just found out how they did it. I went and got my own contract, changed the name and numbers, and went and negotiated my own contract. It doesn't take a lot to do. You just have to have the willingness to understand and to know how to get it done. So when I did it, I did my whole NBA contracts, and I made a good decision by doing that.
Wow.
Took a lot of guts.
Yeah, it did, but it was worth it, you know, just because when you think about it, we were set in stone where we was going to go. Once we got drafted, your work pays off. You know, if you don't know what you're doing, they'll take you as that. If you're labeled as an athlete, they'll treat you as an athlete. If you're labeled as a businessman, they'll treat you as such. So I went into it as a business class athlete, and that's what they treated me as.
Well, you know,
I earned my respect.
Unfortunately, and I think Mr. McNabb said it, that the athlete is just a machine. The athlete doesn't think, cannot read a contract, cannot negotiate, doesn't know X's and O's in the terms of the monies and the benefits and everything. And for a bright person like yourself to say, hey, I'm the athlete, but I'm also the negotiator. And I know what I want, and I know what you people should be doing for me, because this is my life. This is what I intend to do.
The problem I have with that is everything is a learned behavior. From when you were born, how did you believe God? How did you believe how to eat? Everything is a learned behavior.
Right.
So I don't buy into that we're just some machine. We're what we're taught ourselves to be. Whatever you learn mentally is what you can become, and that's the whole point of doing this. I have learned things by doing it my way because I've learned. Everything in this world has been a learned behavior, and what you do with it is up to you. I can't blame my parents for their lifestyle. I have my own life to live, and I choose to do it the right way.
Right.
Well, I for one salute you, Mel Smith Jr. here. I for one salute you because, you know, they always have that profile of just the athlete and all he can do is the physical and he's not cerebral. So I really do salute you on not only the rigors of what it takes to be a professional from a physical point of view, but showing that you are, you know, more than cerebral enough to do your own negotiations and look after the money.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the bottom line. You know, that's the bottom line. And, you know, I really appreciate somebody, a man who, like I said, not only has the physical talent to be a professional, but is cerebral enough to follow the money trail, so to speak.
Exactly. You can't let these people dictate anything. If I was to save someone's life, I'd be on TV for one day. If I took someone's life, I'd be on there every day for 2 years. So I can't. They won't show you the good, but I'm going to make sure that we know that we can be good and be seen as that. So I don't plan to the master, I plan to the positive.
Right.
And not only that, but like you said, sometimes, hey, I mean, why should, I mean, if you are that cerebral and you can, and you know you can do this and you know what you're talking about, know what your worth is, know what you can demand, know that these people can't lollygag with you because you know your worth and know what you demand, hey, then, like I said, why should they get 10, 12, 15%?
Exactly. They shouldn't, and they know they shouldn't, but when you allow them to do it, that's what they do. If you allow anyone to do something, they'll do it.
So my hat, like I said, again, goes off you for not only, you know, the mastering, obviously, the rigors of crunching the numbers, but the rigors of actually being able to do, you know, being that cerebral, like I said, at the same time, to obviously be able to physically do something that most of us, what, 7/8 of the world can't do. You know, to be a professional athlete, you know, a lot of folks wish they could dunk a basketball, throw a football, throw a right hook, body slam someone. You know, I'm talking professional wrestling. Now I had to throw my little thing in there. But the thing that I'm trying to say is that I'm just so happy that you just have the thing of not just an athlete who's gifted physically, but also mentally and can crunch the numbers too. So, you know, I'm really happy that you're representing both ends of that particular line.
Well, that's getting prevalent if not all sports, but in a lot of the I shouldn't say major either. In some of the most attractive sports, like boxing too, a lot of fighters are not just Cupidon that you wind up in and go and hit somebody. These guys become promoters themselves. You know, like Golden Boy and Mosley and this Canelo Alvarez. He has his own promotion company. Even Manny Pacquiao was doing his own promotion.
Al Russell is a promoter at the Garden.
Sugar Ray
Leonard is a
are also the executives of the business that they're in. You know, and I do know that I have a sore point every time they interview a fighter, and they says, well, who do you want to negotiate and fight with? I said, well, you know, I leave that up to my promotion company, and I just do the fighting. I said, man, that was a dumb question, man. I mean, you should know what you want, but again, unfortunately, this is that perennial 10% that the growing 10% that continues to rely on the management instead of like the guy like the Golden Boy. He's like asking them, you know, those guys are saying, hey, I'm going to negotiate, I'm going to see, cross the T's and dot the I's and read the language of the contract, and this is what I want, you know, and I'm going to sign off on it. If not,
and that's
you
are so right, because I have heard on so many occasions when you say, I've heard that exact verbatim. Well, all I do is the fighting. You know, I have to leave that up to my management. All I do is fight.
Right, exactly.
That shouldn't be all you do.
Yeah, but you know, guys, let's not forget also that in some sports, they are dominated by certain companies where it's that much more difficult for you as an outsider to come in and do what you have to do. So let's not forget that either. I mean, you have companies that have dominated the sport for years. I mean, if we take a step back and we look at even the fight that's going on now with Pacquiao and Mosley, let's not forget what Bob Arum went through to try to put everything on HBO, and that's why he's on Showtime and CBS now. So let's not forget too that you do have certain companies, even though Bob Arum we know has been around forever, that do control certain sports. So for this gentleman, you know, to go up there and fight the fight and fight the good fight at that, you know, you have to commend him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, this is the thing I'm going to say about that is, did you think there would be a black president? He went and fought that fight, and he won. If we don't fight, you don't even get a chance to win. The problem is people don't want to fight no more. When's the last time we had a positive leader, Martin Luther? All of them, people have become accustomed to just following in a place of whatever people have them for.
Following the pattern.
I think in addition to what you're saying, I think it's the personal, you know, it's also within that person's intestinal fortitude that drives that person to want to fight. I mean, we could sit here and talk about boxing all day, but we both know that, you know what, when a person is really willing to fight for what's theirs, it doesn't matter what happens. You're gonna do what you got to do.
Exactly, because talking about the president, I mean, here the man is already fundraising for his campaign. Mm-hmm. He's telling, I'm here to stay, and I'm going to win that second term. No matter what you think or do, this is my bag, and this is what I'm going to do, just like everybody else. So he's already filling up his little treasure chest because he's going to give them a war. And that's basically what we're all talking about, the confidence of saying, hey, this is what I want, this is my goal, and I'm going to achieve it.
Some of us had to die for our freedom, and some of us going to have to die to get these rights done where we can do stuff on our own.
Exactly.
That's about fine. Mm-hmm. We got to start stepping up, man. That's the whole problem. If somebody don't take that step, we're going to stay a step behind. So same way we got out them chains, same way we started getting our own land, same way we got to start getting our own contracts. We got to beat the doors down until somebody let us in. Other than that, you're going to keep getting pimped, and I'm not going to ever get pimped. If I do, I'll die.
Well said.
And where's Harold Weston? Anybody know how much you want
right
to bet
here
on that?
Okay, well, thanks for talking to you guys.
Where's Harold,
well,
man?
How
much you want to bet? Where's Harold?
Hold on. Where's Hoops at?
Hoops is still there?
Calling Hoops.
Hoops?
Oh. He wanted to have the basketball. Okay, listen, we're going to take a little break. Big C, hit us a break, and we'll be right back to wrap up the show.
Yeah, give me
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. Yeah, I needed you. Well, hey, the man can play the game on the basketball court and in the game of life. You know, he stood up yesterday and said some things, and it was just thanks so much. And he, Big C,
when we started, we thought we may have started too early. And once again, Rooney, it looks like we just ain't got enough time. Actually, we will always have, we would have needed time if Dusty wouldn't keep asking those same old third grade questions. But then again, you know what?
You need an interview. I ain't talking to you.
Hey, listen, but you know what? When you don't get past the third grade, I can, Bobby Womack, I can understand it.
Look, you're kidding. I'll drop out. I don't want to hear you.
Hey, Bobby Womack, that's a blast from the past.
You know, but panel, let's take this time out to, let me see if I get CJ. Oh, hold on. Okay.
What team was he on?
Huh?
I never got the name of the team he played for.
You were supposed to ask, I can't go ask him now. I'm supposed to know the answer. You're supposed to ask him that. Why do you think I gave him to you?
I forgot to ask him.
Okay, don't worry about it. That's why I thought Hoops was here, because I wanted Hoops to ask him some basketball stuff, but we lost.
Where's Harold?
Well, Harold's not here because Harold's on suspension like Dusty will be next year. I'm making examples.
How much you want to bet?
Suspended without pay?
Hey, Dusty, what pay?
What pay?
No, we're bringing Harold in tomorrow night. I was asked to do this, and I just can't really thank y'all enough for the way you just come in. I mean, there's no situation we can't handle. I mean, you have to look, and Mr. McNabb was jumping to get back on the phone with you guys, and
his
wife was so gracious and happy to speak, because they both said two profound things. Her, as a mother, I'm always going to look out for my kid, and him, the fact about his organization, and he said some things about, and what it comes down to is the same old thing what Derek just said, the problems we have are not for any other reason but black and white. And, and sports has always been that barometer. I mean, black people didn't play in 1947. The American League didn't get an MVP African-American-wise in 1963, okay? Clemente was always seen as a hypochondriac, and Mano was a drunk that nobody questioned what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill Russell talked about it in Boston, and the Boston Celtics won 8 world championships in a row.
That's unheard of. That's unheard of.
Right, and the one thing that Will Chamberlain talked about that he respected Alpac for is he put 5 black players on the court. And Russell was saying, when the Celtics were doing all this winning, there were still people saying there are too many black players on the floor. I remember what Gary Ward told me. You have to understand this. He said, the Yankees want to win with a certain type of play. Jeter has been through a lot of stuff you don't hear about, the hate mail that Jeter got. How many times has Jeter been called nigger?
Half-breed.
That he hasn't, he's just a class guy. Derek Jeter wears number 2 because Derek Jeter is second to none as a shortstop, as a player, and a human being. But, let's look at this. We've got an African-American president, and the Yankees ain't even remotely thinking about a black manager. And I remember one of the things that R.J. Chambliss talked about was that, one of the reasons why systematically Chambliss and Willie were deleted out of the Yankee system because if Joe decided to go, they wouldn't get the job by deference.
Willie Randolph is Exhibit A in any court of law.
Dusty, you know what? Dusty, you can come back next week. After that comment, you can come back next week. Go ahead, Dusty.
He was. I mean, my God in heaven. I mean, who else?
Except the man who's been a pillar.
And then their narrow-mindedness is that he couldn't be the solitary captain of the team. It had to be him and Greg Nettles. I think it was Greg Nettles, was it? And when he went from first base coach, got graduated to promoted to third base coach, then got promoted to bench coach. And then when Torrey was not around, he ran the team on a winning basis. Who else? When Torrey says he's going to California, what happened? They give him permission to go out and interview with half a dozen different teams. Come on, just to get rid of the guy. Come on. So I don't know what the heck is going on here, man.
And they can't say that he wasn't a good ambassador to baseball at the time. Never a breath of scandal on his on-field or off-field career. Never a breath of scandal. So, like Dusty said, exhibits A, B, C, D, and E.
Right. And I'll go back a little further in history. Elston Howard, man. You know how many times a man was interviewed?
How many times?
Jesus, a million freaking times, man. I mean, and it was always, he was always, well, not enough experience, or this, that, and the other, but he's one of our guys. They never want to let him go.
Cleve Boyer said that if it wasn't for Yogi Berra, Elston Howard would have made the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Mm. Wow, that's profound.
Cleve Boyer said if it wasn't for Yogi Berra, Elston Howard would have made the Hall of Fame. I remember, you know, Cleve said that. Ronnie, you got a WFF story for us real quick? But listen, don't be like Dusty. We want to hear today. We don't want a part two into Sunday.
Well, all right, I'm a whole television series by myself.
Doc, you're just way too much. I don't know. I don't know what to do with you.
Go ahead, Dusty.
Hey, Dusty, how's the live show coming? The True TV, you know,
yeah.
Real time TV.
The real time TV.
The show. Rooney, how's it going? The wrestling show you were talking about last week, remember? Well, not with John Cena. What was the other one? Stone Cold.
Stone Cold.
That's what I was gonna say. Thank you, lady. I'm getting happy
now.
You're
quite welcome, Rooney.
I think I might have been thrown into the turnbuckle too much myself.
Okay.
I can't seem to remember anything.
No problem.
I was going to say thank you, lady.
You're quite
they
welcome. I'll refresh your memory. No problem.
Yeah, they have something called Tough Enough, which
yeah.
is a very, very good barometer. What it is about is hopeful is trying to make professional wrestling.
Right.
And it shows the training that they go through, the true pain that's involved, the intestinal fortitude that it takes, and quite frankly, the injuries that you will have.
Exactly.
You know, when I was learning how to take those falls in one of the area wrestling schools, folks don't know that you really do have to go to a school or go through serious training to learn how to take those falls without breaking your neck. And half the time you wind up breaking it anyway, like Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Ed, did, which is why he announced his retirement a few weeks ago.
Right, exactly.
Because
right.
the broken neck that he's – because the broken neck that he suffered some 7 years ago, you know, he knew he was on borrowed time. That his career lasted this long, you know, was
right.
a blessing for Adam.
He has a metal plate on his spine, doesn't he?
I'm trying to get Miss CJ Jordan. She is she's on the PR here, and she's also in charge of an organization that I am not a hero, and it's what they do to help military families. And as you know, my cousin Robert L. Bethay Jr., the first ever African American command of the JCS unit in the history of the military, and his wife, Maureen, a full colonel. He was a late colonel then. My Uncle Robert did 27 years in. CJ, you got him? CJ is, wife's been lovely. She's doing it here, but she's the head of an organization that's close to me. It helps military families. I told you, my cousin, Robert L. Bethay Jr., first ever African American commander of JCS unit in the history of the military, his wife's a Marine, major, and also my aunt's uncle's in. Panel, she's here for you. Ask the questions about the organization. Ms. C.J. Jordan, first of all, we just want to thank you, and then tell us the name of the organization and what you do. And then, panel, Dusty, let her talk first, and then ask questions.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is C.J. Jordan, and the title of my foundation is I Am Not a Hero. And one of the reasons I started the foundation, I had four nephews who went to United States Military Academy at West Point, and
wow.
I wanted to be able to transition them from cadets to when they became soldiers, and that's how I really got involved. I come from a military family, but this is my way to really embrace the whole entire community.
A pleasure and honor to have you on our panel discussion, Ms. Jordan. I just wanted to say myself, and I'm sure I speak for the panel, that we just absolutely commend you for the work and energy
absolutely.
That you put into this organization. On behalf of all the people who, you know, who fight to protect this country and our way of life, I just want to say we thank you so much.
No, thank you. But the most important thing, you know, our goal of the foundation is basically to get our athletes and entertainers to educate them about the sacrifices that the men and women in uniform and their whole entire families make on behalf of our freedoms.
And most people don't realize that there are over 1,200 veterans who are from the NFL family, former owners, former players, their current coaches. And then there are a couple of guys who just came out of the Air Force Academy who are currently playing. And we also, Detroit Lions, if you remember two drafts ago, there was one who went in the third round from West Point who gave up his scholarship to, you know, because he wanted to go ahead and defend his country. So, you know, this is the reason why we do that, so that we can embrace the community and educate them.
And, Ms. Jordan, not only that, and also the, I'm sure there was the book and also, what is it, the movie, I believe, that came out not that long ago in regard to the whole name, and I believe it was
Pat Tillman.
Thank you very much, Lady A.
You're quite welcome, Pat Tillman.
In regard to Pat Tillman giving up a very lucrative NFL a contract to go serve this country.
From the Cardinals.
Right. Indeed. You know, people have no idea how much sacrifice, really goes into, going all over the world and combat and defense, you know, of this country, our way of life. And, you know, I can only try to, as I say, commend you and the fighting men and women for the sacrifice that they make so that we can, you know, go around and, you know, play and watch sports and feel safe.
Make our life easier, right.
You know, I really do commend them and the job that they do, and that you do, ma'am. And we have to never forget that, hey, if it wasn't for others, we wouldn't be where we are today and wouldn't have the fun times and the other times, you know, that we have. So I really want to thank you again and what you're doing. I sincerely, sincerely thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I will turn it back over to you. All
right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. CJ, thank you very much. And she's interesting, isn't it? That whole I'm not a hero.
Right.
Yeah, I'm always
really
amazed.
But I was just thinking about that.
I'm always amazed about people who are doing so much.
Really?
Who think it's so little.
Yeah.
And not, you know. It's not. You know, you want to take your hats off and hats off. Hold on just a second, gang. Big City, give us another commercial break, and we'll be right back. No? Don't have to worry about it, then.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Well, we're like about in the last 15 minutes, and where has the time gone? And, I'm trying to find out. I mean, we're supposed to have had Donnie Wilkins was supposed to show up. I believe Jerry Rice was supposed to be here, but you know, the guy always seen as the bad guy. Ray Lewis is here. He's been here the whole weekend. He's been into everything that they've had, and it's something I wouldn't berate, but just in the early stages of this. And I'm going up to control room with Big C. You know, Big C, we talked about it in the early part of this. I just don't understand how an organization moving in such a positive and needed direction, some of the people couldn't be here. I mean, especially, you know, this is an African-American founded, base, and rooted. The core of what is needed and is done is going to be done, and I don't know, you know what I mean? You don't talk until you walk in another person's shoes, but I don't understand why he couldn't be here. And
well, Doc, I think he's
okay. Just confirmed Jerry Rice's not going to be either. I'm going to be befuddled. I mean,
well,
I don't know. I mean, this was Dusty. There's nothing to say. They should be here.
No, I'm not excusing Jerry Rice, but Wilkins was doing the color commentary on his team. He was there. I mean, he probably committed. He's committed by that. I mean, I can understand that.
Money.
Yeah, no, but that's the
money.
Money,
money, money, money.
Well, money, money.
But, you know,
once again,
yeah.
Doc Stanley's show, he should have been here. End of it, Dusty, okay?
Well, then you send him a scare letter. You have 2 days to get out of town because you didn't come to the show.
Listen, it's too late. I'm not going to. Oh, you know what? You wrote a great point. And Dusty, this is what you bring. You're right. Here's a situation where, I mean, because you know what, Dusty? Who thought the Hawks would still be in the playoffs now?
Exactly.
I mean, they probably thought it'd be no problem. They'll make it. I mean, if they get in, they'll be. So you're right. I mean, and it's a situation, and it brings me like this situation that it's a good situation. Hey, he loves having the award. He would love to be here, but you're right. And if I'm correct, he's also part of the Hawk organization. Like you said, I mean, when you first drew it up, I mean, who thought the pitcher was going to hit the grand slam home and win the game? So you're right about that. 100% right about that.
Basically, well, you know, because you see all these award shows. You know, I just saw the Telemundo award show. You know, the guy from Aventura, he's in there recording some new bachata, man, and he couldn't come up here and pick up his stupid prize. I send my congratulations and I appreciate it, but you know, I'm recording something. Yeah, stupid. Nonsense. Get your tail out there, man. And then the Billboard Awards.
Oh my God,
yeah, the Latino Billboards. And then you got these Oscar winners who I was out of the country. You know, I'm thankful that you nominated me and I won the
Dusty,
Oscar.
Dusty, don't be insistent. Don't be hating, Dusty. Don't be hating, okay?
Don't calm down. Come on,
hey,
man.
Listen, you explained Dominic Wilkins. Let it be, okay? Let it be. Now you're moving to Oscar winners. You're moving to movie stars.
I'm giving you examples of
politicians. Give me. So now you're probably going to say that little problem. Because, you know what? I think it's interesting. I was saying this, you know, how come President Obama was invited to the wedding yesterday? So, you know,
he had commitments running the country. He didn't have to go to that 10-cent wedding, man.
Aubrey Roberts said, you have to understand, this is a situation of a certain decorum. It's a royal movement. And he said, now, probably no question the American ambassadors were there. But it's a certain, and it's amazing that you, you know what I found out the other day, too, is that there was a forgot the guy called, what he told it was, they had a situation where you went into the into the Navy.
Right.
A day before your 18th birthday, and you got out a day before your 21st birthday.
Right.
That's what they called it, but you did the 3-year hitch. And you just learn things every day. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports and Depth is the show. We're here at the Grand Hyatt at the UAF. Let me go over here and get some more information on this UAF. I'm looking at some more stuff here. I don't want to lose my. You know what? It worked out so good that I had a spot to plug in. I'm still looking at the. You know, this Elvis I wonder if I could, if nobody's here, could maybe slide this down the elevator. If nobody could see this. But I'm looking. Let's talk some more about this UAF real quick, too. It's a United. I've got some T-shirts here. Maybe I grab a couple for the game. Maybe get everybody a T-shirt before we go. United Athletes Foundation. Dr. Walker F. Young is the chairman. Ray Lewis is the vice chairman. Reggie Howard is the president. And Ambassador Andrew Young is an advisor, and Dr. J is also an advisor. Good poster here. It shows Andrew Young, Julius, Dr. J. Irvin, Reggie Howard, Ray Lewis, Hank Aaron is also an advisor, and Dr. Walter Young. And it's together we will make a difference. Collaboration and willingness to work in partnership with a devised group of people and organizations for the betterment of our mission. Loyalty, the commitment to always value the relationship of our partners and constituents. Integrity. The insurance to our organization, partners, and constituents that we will operate with extraordinary ethical standards. Excellence, superior quality and delivery of services through high-impact programs. And vision, uniting athletes throughout the world to maximize our leverage for the betterment of communities. Once again, the UAF, United Athletes Foundation, you're going to go online and learn some more about this organization, www.unitedathletesfoundation.org. One more time, www.unitedathletesfoundation.org. And, you just can't reach some of the people. I mean, the all-time home run hitting king of all times, Henry Aaron, averaged 100 RBIs and 33 home runs his whole career. The Jewish, Winfield, like only one of only three guys to score over 30,000 points, considered by many the greatest and most exciting forward to play the game, and one of only two men ever to win an NBA and an ABA World Championship. Andrew Young, Reverend Andrew Young, Ambassador Reggie Howard, who founded his organization, Ray Lewis, considered by many the best middle linebacker of his era and one of the greatest of all times. Once again, the story on the organization is the United Athletes Foundation and collaboration, lowering the integrity, excellence, and mission, empowering athletes to impact communities through education and social development. And once more time, www.unitedathletesfoundation.org. I want to take Martiz, who has set everything up for us to be here, media-wise, C.J. Jordan, for talking with us. I think we how much time have we got left, Dixie? Have another 3 minutes?
30 minutes.
How much? We got 30 minutes left?
Three.
Oh, 3 minutes. Okay.
3 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, look at some of the stuff. One of the things, too, that's up here, it is a the Rat Pack. It's $500. It's a nice collage of photos of, the Rat Pack. There's Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra.
Who wants that?
Yeah, a shot of that. If I can get this in my pocket, I got it, baby. Oh, you know what? I didn't see this. This, wait a minute, man. Sinatra autographed this. Martin autographed it. Sammy Davis autographed it. Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Joey Bishop, Frank Sinatra, and Peter Lawford. I didn't see this. It's
Peter
autographed
Lawford.
By them. Yeah, and it's a good price. It's only $500. I think I got that in my pocket. It's only $500. I didn't notice that. But now let me see what they want for the Michael Jackson. Let me see what the Michael Jackson is going for.
$1.95.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, I figured that. Michael Jackson, hand-signed masterpiece, $1,500.
Wow.
The picture in the middle is a black and white of Michael. Back on his boop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop-boop, bubblegum soul. To the right is the legendary Michael, who grew up to be the greatest entertainer of his generation. And also to the left. But this is 1,500 smackers. So this right now, wait a minute. Now the most, giveaway of wine country package. Well, that's 2,500. Okay, so right now, looking at items here, value-wise, the most expensive, this one right with Michael at 1,500. Silent auction, which if Dusty was here, wouldn't be silent because he'd be talking. And we're looking at
I'll be the auctioneer.
Yeah, and we're, oh, wait a minute, though. Here is the most expensive. Okay, well, no, it's not an item. It's a 10 Grammy Awards experience package. That's $7,500. $450 for the Jerry Garcia limited edition. So, okay, his matchup, $1,500 for the XL. Oh, no, okay, that's because it's not items. We got some also signed by James Gardoni from the Sopranos. So we're looking at the – I'm not sure what this Pelé goes for. Pelé, $500. Man, an autographed Pelé picture with a bicycle kicker. Okay, well, that's it. It's about that time. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth with the Blake, Radio Network, Rainbow Solutions, Sports Depth of the show. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for blessing us, for being our God, being our Savior. Thank you for the little things, Lord, that we so largely take for granted. And let your ways be our ways. Thank you for grace and mercy. Blessings unseen, blessings unacknowledged, all undeserved. Bless our families. Bless our mothers as we move toward Mother's Day, dear Lord. And just a simple thank you from us, but not enough, as we should be paying homage to you all time. Thank you for your darling son, Jesus. And more importantly, dear Lord, your will, your way, in every way. In Jesus' name, dear Lord, amen. Leave me with three thoughts. Live your life today as you have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is rent you pay for your space on earth. The Son of Man came to serve and not be served. How much time we got left now, Big C?
23 seconds.
Larry Hardesty, say goodnight. Gang, I love you. Larry, take us away.
God bless. Take care, man. Nice talking to you, family. See you tomorrow.
All right, guys.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day. Mm-hmm.